Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 298. This is the show where we talk about Android applications, and every once in a while we have a developer of an app on the show, and that is such a show today. So first off, just want to say my name is Steve Cherubino. Thanks everyone for joining us. Also joining us is the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from podnuts.com. What's up, Door?
Hey, Steve. Doing pretty good here. Man, Christmas. You know. Ho, ho, ho.
Super excited, I could tell.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, we do it for the kids because, you know, it's too much to do by ourselves.
That's funny. Also joining us, Eric Ardini from DiniMedia.com. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, we do it for our kids too because we don't want to buy each other that many presents. So we throw a couple kids in there with it to make our burden of opening presents that much less. Personally,
I can't tell if you're being extremely sarcastic or not.
Usually.
Well, our developer for the week is Ben Rudolph. He's the developer of Straw, which is a killer app that we brought, I don't know, a couple weeks back. And it basically allows you to do surveys and in a very, very simple way and get customer feedback and do polls and stuff that a smart marketer would definitely be doing, but now has a much easier way of doing it. Ben, how's it going, man? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me. Things are good.
Yeah? Did I do an okay job of explaining your app? Tell us a little bit more what Straw is about.
Yeah, I think you did. I mean, what Straw is a social polling app, and it allows you to create very simple polls either through text or through pictures, and then post that to either one or multiple social networks or even through SMS, which is really cool, and get feedback back from your social networks in a really structured, simple way. You know, myself and the three other guys who developed the app, the idea came about, actually, we were talking smack about college football on New Year's last year. And, you know, we were talking about matchups and in-game matchups and player pairings and all this stuff, and realized that when you ask a question across your social networks, you know, it's kind of hard to get feedback back in a really intelligent way. And that's kind of how we came up with the idea. We're like, well, if we just posted a poll about, like, you know, who you got this weekend, you got the Cardinals or the Seahawks, I can post that to Facebook, I can post it to Twitter, everybody can vote, it all comes back into one spot, and I can see in a simple pie chart or a bar graph, you know, where people's heads are. So, you know, it's a pretty simple idea, but we found it to be pretty powerful.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I mean, I think it's cool that you guys have this idea and then you just basically build it. So you guys are probably pretty tech savvy yourselves. Are you all programmers?
We're not all programmers. We do all work at Microsoft, which I know may be a dirty word on the Android show. but we all work at Microsoft, and it's myself and three others, and we all have a really diverse background. So Craig Kinnerman, he's a product manager for Visual Studio Online. He's got a real strong dev background. Nate Gunderson, he does design work for Skype. Jason Wilmot, he's a sales guy. And myself, I do PR and experiential marketing for Microsoft Global Retail. So we got a pretty broad group of people with a couple of different skill sets.
Yeah, very well-rounded.
Cool. Yeah, and I'll say, I love to poke fun at Microsoft, but I'm not going to lie, Ben. In the last, I don't know, 6 months or something, as a tech guy, wow. I am literally like on the edge of my seat waiting to see what Microsoft is going to do next, because to me, they've done some really smart, like ballistically smart things here recently, and I think that's going to continue for a while. As a Linux weenie, I'm terrified right now where Microsoft is going to go next, because really what they're doing to me, some really ingenious smart things. And I'll say, that might have been the broadest spectrum of four people I think I've ever heard on one team before. So so congratulations on finding common ground.
Well, yeah, it's been really cool. I mean, and it's, you know, what you said about Microsoft, like I'll plug the company for a little bit. I've been there for almost 7 years. I've done a lot of stuff, different things at Microsoft. Like, we're doing some really cool stuff. I mean, there's definitely a culture and an air of innovation that's happening right now that, you know, people are like, not only are we making smart decisions for the company, but people are like, yeah, Microsoft is cool again. Like, it's pretty awesome to be part of.
Definitely. I see that, man, and I feel it. When you see a commercial that just embarrasses the crap out of Apple, you know that Microsoft is like, they're winning.
Yeah, you know, and competitive marketing is something that's near and dear to my heart. You guys probably aren't going to want to hear this, but if you guys ever saw the Smoke by Windows Phone stuff from a couple of years ago where we put the smartphones head-to-head, Windows Phone against Android against iPhone?
Yeah.
That was my campaign. I was in those ads, and I put that campaign together. So awesome. I love the competitive marketing.
So you're a Windows Phone fan?
Yeah, actually, I launched Windows Phone 7.5. I launched Windows Phone 8. I've been a Windows Phone user for a long time. You know, even before Windows Phone 7 launched, I had one of those Samsung Taylors, those dev devices. So my daily driver is a Nokia Lumia 1520. I also have an iPhone 6. And on the Android side, I've got two. I've got an HTC One M8. And then I've got one of these. I got a OnePlus One that I've been using for a while.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, that's what Dore has, the OnePlus One.
Yeah, it's a good phone. You know, and you certainly can't beat the price. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Very cool, man. All right, well,
do you carry all those at one time?
I don't usually carry all of them with. I usually have them in my office, and then I rotate one at a time. I've got my SIM in my OnePlus right now. The only one that I always carry with me is my Windows phone, because I'm so comfortable with it. Email so good on it that you know, when I'm doing day-to-day stuff at work, that's the one that I normally use. So I always keep that in my bag if I've got my SIM and something else.
It's good to hear that you're into the marketing of the Windows phone, and you've got all those other phones handy, so you really know what you're talking about when somebody asks, well, what makes this better, why can't I do that? And you know, that it's smart that you're not just out there on a wing and a prayer, you know, trying to sell this thing. You've got the other devices in your hand, and you play with them, you know.
Yeah, and they're new devices.
You have to. And, you know, I think something, you know, that Satya has done really well is, and he's really embracing this mobile first, cloud first strategy, right? So there are more and more Microsoft apps and services being available for things other than Windows and Windows Phone, which is pretty cool.
Well, let's get back to Straw for a little bit. What have you found people using this for? You have any exciting use cases where you're like, wow, these guys just were doing using the app for this and it's going really well? You have any stories like that?
Yeah, I mean, for most people, they're using it for what I would call like everyday polling, right? It's like they're using polling via SMS to, you know, what movie do we want to go see? Where do we want to go to dinner? Like that kind of stuff, that asking those kind of questions over email or over text gets kind of to be a pain. But running a poll makes it really easy, especially if you run a short poll. We're starting to see a lot more commercial adoption too. There's a car dealership out of the UK that's using it. When they bring new cars in for used cars to sell, they post them up on polls, be like, you know, which car should we put on special, that kind of thing, which is pretty awesome. There's a guy who makes messenger bags and handbags, and when he posts up new design ideas, he posts them using Straw and being like, which one of these should I put into production? So we're starting to see a really wide variety of polls, from everything from the truly mundane, like, do I want burritos or pizza for lunch, up to the more significant, like, I've got a first date with this girl who I really like, what shirt should I wear? Up to the really major, which is like, I'm running a business and I want you to help me make this decision about my business.
Wow.
Well, yeah, cool. And to be honest, I think the app is geared towards that from the way I use it. It's very simplistic in its design approach. It's the kind of thing, as long as you have an idea for a poll, it's pretty simple to pull off. You don't need to read a manual. You don't need to read a how-to. And it's very easy. Honestly, the sharing feature on how it pushes it to the social networks, that's where I said, okay, now I get why people should use this app. It's just so easy.
Yeah, it's exactly right. I mean, we built it to be brain dead simple, right? Because we've all seen apps that are, they're sometimes very beautifully designed and they're a great idea, but they get so complex in how you set them up and how you log in and how you make them work that you just kind of say, oh, forget it. Like, we wanted something that anybody could get into the app, sign in, create a poll, and get results back in a couple of seconds. And that's where we're starting to see a lot of people polling. And also a lot of people responding, because voting on those polls is so simple, and because it goes through the web, it works on any device. So we're seeing people who have even relatively small social networks and small social media followings getting really high engagement, because you don't have to worry about writing something pithy back on Twitter or writing a long Facebook commentary. You can literally two clicks help somebody make a decision.
And you don't have to sign in and become a member to respond to the poll or any of that. Can you run us through, like, if somebody has an idea and they want to do a poll, how would the procedure go, and how would they push it out to their social networks?
Yeah, it's super easy. So you open up the app, you agree with a log-on screen, and you can log in with Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Microsoft account, Google+. So whatever you want to use, you don't have to create an account, because we're not really in the business of creating a new social network. We're in the business of taking the clutter out of social media. So you get into the app, you tap the plus sign, and then you've got your option to write a question, and that can either be a text question or it can be a picture. You add in your options, up to four different options. So what do I want for dinner? You post a picture of pizza, a picture of burritos, a picture of tacos, a picture of sushi. And then you just, with checkboxes, you select which social networks you want to post to, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and so forth. And then you select how long you want that poll to run for, 1 hour, 5 hour, a day, and you hit the check mark.
That's it?
Wow.
And then you just hop back into the app whenever you want, and you can watch those results come in real time. It's all visually represented, either a pie chart or a bar chart. And we've got a very simple notification system that when your poll's done, you're ready to see the final results, notification toasts.
Yeah, and what he just said, the end users here have to listen and understand. There's no unnecessary steps. There's no app spam that comes with it. It just literally does what it says. Now, the stupid question I have for you, and I think it's stupid because I can't even comprehend it. How could you, would you expand upon this app? I mean, I don't want to sound dumb, but it really, you can do text, you can do pictures, you can interactively watch them come in, and it's super easy to share on all the social networks. It seems to me like you literally hit all of the key points on this app.
Well, you know, there are always ways to make things better, right? Like, there have been some pretty great cars, and some pretty great airplanes, and some pretty great software. You know, there's always room to improve. You know, for us, it's about how do we expand the reach for the app? Are there other social networks we can integrate with? Is there a way to make the app more useful? Is there a way for it to reach more people? Is there a way for users across more platforms? You know, the fact that we're multi-platform in itself, where you can download the app for Windows Phone, for iOS, or for Android, in itself is a pretty big deal. But, you know, we're realizing that there are so many day-to-day situations where being able to run a quick poll to either help you decide or help you validate a decision is a pretty big deal. So now we're just starting to look at different use cases and how we can integrate polling into that.
Okay, can I ask you a stupid question? You mentioned it's on multi-platforms. So my question is then, did you A, rewrite it from scratch for every platform, or B, did you use a central code base and then use tools to get the APKs and other files out?
That's probably a question that's better for Craig to answer, about how the, this is why I was hoping that he was going to be able to join me tonight, about getting into the nuts and bolts. I don't want to misspeak, but I'll get you an answer for that.
Okay, I was just wondering, because cross-platform is one of those treacherous walks. Each developer decides his own course, and they all come with, you know, pluses and minuses.
Yeah. I mean, I will say we did build on Windows Phone first, because obviously we're Microsoft guys, and we have a lot more experience with the Windows platform from other places. The thing that we're really working on right now is making sure that the Android version feels like an Android app and works the way an Android app should be. And an iOS app feels like an iOS app and works like an iOS app should. Like, so many apps, they'll start on, say, iOS, and then they'll say, hey, now we're available for Android. And it looks like a crappy port of an iOS app. And the buttons are on the wrong spot, and the visual cues aren't right. And as a Windows Phone user, I see it all the time, where, like, you open up an app and you're like, this is probably shared code from an Android code base, because it looks like an Android app. So I think we've created an app where, I don't know if you have other competitive devices around, but when you open up the Windows Phone app, the visual cues and the UI looks and feels like a Windows Phone app. And the Android app looks and feels like an Android app. And the iOS app looks and feels like an iOS app, because we want people to feel comfortable. And part of that simplicity is going the way UI and UX is laid out on Android is different than it is on iOS. And if you're used to one and you hop in and everything, all the visual cues in the wrong spot, you're going to say, this isn't the right app for me, and you're going to leave. So we wanted everyone to have a really great experience on whatever platform they're on.
That's really good.
Well, this is technically an Android show, but I don't care. if tomorrow, because I literally have suggested other platforms in Android to people when they ask me, because not one platform is right for everyone. So I'll ask you, if tomorrow I met somebody who used all the key services and had all the key needs that told me they should have a Windows mobile device, which device should they go get?
So the one that I use right now is the Lumia 1520. That's the big one, the one that's a 6-inch device. I love it because I do most of my work on the keyboard, right? I do a lot of email, I do a lot of texting, I do a lot of web. And having that really big screen, I couldn't live without it. The other one that I really love right now, I know it's aging a little bit, is the Lumia 1020, which is the one with the 41 megapixel camera on the back. And if you're a camera nerd, if you love to take photos, it's, you just can't beat it. There's nothing even close. The resolution and the depth and the color that you get off of that camera is just absurd. Like, it's so good, it doesn't look real. Like,
wow.
You can't imagine it was taken on a phone. And, you know, and I have an iPhone, takes great pictures. My OnePlus takes okay pictures. But it's so head and shoulders above everything else. It's something that Nokia does so, so well. Or I shouldn't say Nokia because they're not part of us, Microsoft. But even the Lumia 1520 has a 21 megapixel camera on the back, right, with image stabilization. So you get really, like, that team excels at imaging.
Well, and I'll ask you a stupid softball question because I think I know the answer to it again. To me, you can't compare most of the Windows phone specs to the Android phone specs to the iOS phone specs, because I'll admit Android is probably the most resource intensive of the three mobile operating systems, the three big mobile operating systems. I'm going to honestly guess that the Microsoft mobile operating system is far lighter. So when you hear, you know, 1 gig of RAM, quad core 2.2, you can't think of it like, well, how would this run on an Android device? Because my guess is the Windows Mobile is much lighter.
Yeah, you know, it's I liken it to, like, you know, if I have two cars, right, and I say, well, one has a 400 horsepower engine, one has a 250 horsepower engine, that doesn't tell me how well the car drives, right? It just tells me how big the engine is. Right. So, you know, what I love about, you know, Windows Phone and the work that Terry Myerson and Joe Belfiore and those guys have done is that they made it work very, very smooth and very, very light. So it just feels really fluid to use. And I think you saw this, if you guys, you know, we've been following the space for a while, back in the Windows Phone 7 and Windows Phone 7.5 days, when we only had single core processors, right? The OS at the time only supported. People went, oh my gosh, Android has dual core, they're kind of quad core, and it's got to be slower. And then you'd use it, and it actually felt a lot faster. You know, it's like anything else, right? I've got an i7 processor in the laptop I'm talking to you right now, but that's just one component to making my machine feel fast, right? It depends on what browsers I'm running, what applications I'm running, what's running in the background. There's so many components to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Both on Straw and the Windows Mobile platform. I'm glad we could talk about that, because honestly, we don't talk about it much. And I actually was curious to know how it was doing compared to the other platforms. What's the future for it, you think? You think it's going to just keep getting better? Are they going out strong, or what's happening?
Well, I mean, there's always innovation, right? I mean, you saw, you know, you can assume that there's always going to be a great investment in Windows Phone. And I think that we've continued to prove them. And the fact that Nokia is now part of Microsoft is, you know, an indication to how committed the company is to the platform. I mean, the good news is that are there as many users as iOS? No. Are there as many users as Android? No. But they're a very passionate group. A really, really passionate user community. I mean, I spend a lot of my time during the day. I mean, now I'm in retail, so I get to kind of play with all the products, which is really cool. But, you know, I have 35,000 Twitter followers, the majority of whom I came in contact with through the work I did in Windows and Windows Phone, and they are a really just passionate, loyal user base. You know, the fan communities are strong. The developer community is strong. There are people building really cool stuff for it and doing amazing things with live tiles and making the services work really, really beautifully and creating really interesting apps. you know, there's some really cool stuff that's happening, you know, just across Windows in general, which is really cool.
Awesome. That's good to know. Very cool.
Yeah. And I'll just say, I'm afraid of being a Linux guy in the next year and a half, 2 years, where the Surface platform is going to go and where the Windows Mobile platform is going to go. Because I think it's literally going to, I mean, officially kick BlackBerry out of all enterprises, number one. But I think it's literally going to explode, where every time I go to any meeting, they're all going to have their Surface tablet and they're going to be tethering off of their Windows, the mobile phone. I think they're going to, just like they own enterprise server market and enterprise office market, I think they're going to own that part of it too.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely seeing a lot of pickup. You know, and I sympathize because you said you're a Linux guy. Like, I came out of that world. Like, before I was at Microsoft, I was a Mac guy and I was a Linux guy for a long time. If you guys know Parallels, the virtualization software, I was the first guy at Parallels. So I was the first non-engineer at Parallels. So I was a Mac guy running Linux and Windows and virtual machines for quite some time. So wow. I got to live in all those worlds.
Neat. Sounds like a cool history, man.
Yeah, I got some miles on the odometer.
I see that passion that you're talking about. I was just with a guy today who, he was probably the only person I knew. You know, I live in a small community, so there's not a ton of us anyway. But he had a Windows phone, and he's got a new Windows phone. And I've had a Surface in the past. I'm running Windows 10 on a laptop over here. And he just got the new Surface 3.
Oh, that's so good.
I know. Yeah. It's a lot different than
that's a phenomenal device. I kind of alternate. Right now I'm talking to you on a loaded up Dell XPS 15. Because that's the one I use when I have to do a lot of writing. But I have a Surface Pro 3, the i5 with a 256 gig drive. I've got, this is one of the perks of being at Microsoft, I've got one of the NFL skins, the ones you see on like an afternoon football in the back of it, which is kind of awesome. And my dark blue keyboard, and like, I love that thing. And the battery life's great. And it's really hard to beat a full power laptop that's also a world-class tablet, and the whole thing weighs under 2 pounds.
Yeah.
Just pretty awesome.
They really did it right on that. That's very tempting. Every time I see that at Best
Buy. It's a really, really good machine. I mean, it's really hard to beat for the money. I mean, I kind of have the luxury of having like this totally kick-ass like 15-inch quad HD laptop and then take my Surface on the road. But if I was going to pick up one device, like a Surface Pro 3 would be the device that I would buy for myself.
Wow.
Well, yeah, and I don't mind saying. You say it's hard to beat for the money. It ain't cheap. It ain't close to cheap. But what you get out of it, you can't get. You can't get for like less than pushing 2,000, and you're still not getting what you're getting. You're still getting less.
You know, I mean, if you were to go and buy a comparable laptop and then go buy an iPad or a Samsung Galaxy Pro Tab Pro or something like that, like, it would cost you more, it would weigh less, and it wouldn't do as much. And that's a pretty compelling argument when you can have one thing that costs less, does more, and weighs less than the two things.
The whole last year, when I went to conferences, I would take my Nexus 7 and I would dock it in a Bluetooth keyboard that had a little cover on it, so I could store my tablet inside that cover. And it worked good. But people would ask me, "Oh, what kind of computer is that?" I'm like, "Oh, it's just a, you know, an Android tablet, it's a Nexus 7, cheap, you know, nothing too great." I was psyched when Microsoft said that they were bringing out Office for Android. But for some reason, it won't install on the Nexus 7, but I can install it on my Note 4. So I'm up in the air of whether I should take my laptop, because I've got a government job, so I work in Office all the time anyway. And I was running, you know, some kind of an Android Office type suite, and then just converted it, you know, using it converted to Word. But if I can run Microsoft Office on my phone in that Bluetooth keyboard, may be a little too small. So I'm up in the air whether I should go back to my laptop or that. But a Surface, man, that would fill the bill. But
it's nice. I mean, you get a Surface Pro 3, you put Office 365 across your phone and your Surface, so you can store everything in OneDrive and get the same experience across all your devices. Like, it's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on the OneDrive team, or not team, the bus. I'm using it.
Yeah, I love it. I put everything in there. I couldn't live without it.
Yeah. Hey, man, did we miss anything on Straw? Anything else you wanted to say about Straw before we end off?
No, I don't think so. I mean, like I said, go out, try the app. It's available for Android. It's available for Windows Phone. It's available for iOS. You can find it in Google Play, in the iOS App Store, in the Windows Phone Store. And the best thing I can say is download the app, try it out, let us know what you think. If you have questions, if you have comments, if you have feedback, if you have feature suggestions, if there's anything you need to know, just email us at hello@pollwithstraw.com or find us on Twitter at @pollwithstraw.
Poll with Straw. Very cool. Ben, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. Really enjoyed talking with you.
You bet. Glad to be here. Great.
Cool. And I hope everybody enjoyed the show. That's going to be it for Android App Addicts for today. See you next time.